Hello, thank you very much for coming. Despite the grandeur of our surroundings, today is meant to be an informal meeting in which we share our views on where to go next with Bayesian reasoning. Norman asked me to give just a very quick sketch of the legal perspective. I've only recently been introduced to Bayesian reasoning. It's been quite a lot of reading involved. But I just wanted to say a note or two about the legal perspective, which is a key concern in the criminal justice system at the moment, is the growth and the amount of expert opinion being adduced in the courts. And really, that's problematic for several reasons, the most obvious being expense and complexity. And perhaps most worryingly, the often dubious probative value of much of that expert evidence. And at the forefront of lawyers' minds, there is a concern about a risk, as Jill Benathan QC puts it, about common sense, which is the province of the jury, being colonised by experts. And this is a concern, I think, behind the decision in R&T, which I was told to assume you'd all be familiar with, but you might not all be familiar with. Essentially a decision by the Court of Appeal on the evidence of a shoe print examiner, and the decision essentially said that Bayesian formula should not have been used by the expert in formulating their conclusions because the data underlying it was unreliable and incomplete. Now, a Bayesian is understandably infuriated, I think, by some of the pronouncements in the judgment, particularly the court's denunciation of the coupling of Bayes' theorem with incomplete or unreliable data. But I don't think Lord Justice Thomas was suggesting that Bayes' theorem was no good because it allows the attribution of numerical values and to subjective hunches. I doubt he would say, for example, Alan Turing shouldn't have used Bayes' theorem in trying to crack the Enigma code, for example. His remarks in the case of T are confined to the role of Bayes' theorem in the criminal justice system. And the court's concern is to ensure that the provision of expert opinion is limited to that which is strictly necessary. Expert opinion is only necessary when it furnishes the court with probative information which is likely to be outside the experience and knowledge of the jury. And if on the proven facts a judge or jury can form their own conclusions without help, then the opinion of the expert is unnecessary. And the question troubling the courts in this case, I think, is if these data are too incomplete or unreliable to form the basis of an opinion from the jury, then why should an expert be allowed to present it as scientific or expert opinion merely by applying Bayes' theorem to it, when Bayes' theorem, at least in the words of Pierre Laplace, is nothing but good common sense reduced to mathematics? And it may be that that's what's troubling the courts and why, in their judgment, it is only where the data is drawn from relatively comprehensive statistical databases that it might be helpfully interpreted for the jury by using Bayes' theorem. And how you then present that evaluation to the court is, of course, another matter. Now, I'm not defending the judgment in R&T. There are several valid criticisms to be made about it, indeed that have been made about it. But I just mention it as a useful reminder to us that when seeking to find ways of usefully employing Bayes' theorem in the criminal justice system, and I'm sure that there are many ways in which Bayes' theorem can be helpful, that we bear in mind the principles and objectives of the criminal justice system in which we're seeking to apply it. And that's why I'm particularly pleased that we have the speakers who do have addressing us today. So without further ado, I'll introduce Andrew Remsen.